But why then, I complain, why have I not seen the rain, the blazing spirit that blesses my single veins?
Hello and welcome. You are tuned into the Find Your Voice radio series on CKUW 95.9 FM. Find Your Voice is a radio series of half-hour episodes that presents the life stories of new Canadians. These stories offer a portrait of newly immigrated Canadians to help build understanding, demystify stereotypes, and break down preconceptions. In this radio series on CKUW 95.9 FM, you will hear the stories, the hopes, perspectives, and challenges of new immigrants from around the world. The Find Your Voice radio project was based on the new Canadian literacy project called The Past is Another Country at the Winnipeg Public Library. Find Your Voice received generous support by Astral Media and the Campus Community Radio Fund of Canada, CKUW 95.9 FM, and the Oral History Center at the University of Winnipeg. On today's episode, you will hear from...
Winnie Abraha is from Ethiopia. She joined the Finding Your Voice program less than a week after arriving in Winnipeg. She's a student, has several jobs, and is actively involved in community work.
Right now, I'm going to read you a poem which I wrote a while back. Water shortages, immigration crisis, the deep plunges of drills into the center of the earth, the melting north, the darkening water, the confused earth and animals we are, a concrete where the wilderness once ran, it's spewing around the belly of the earth. We want to understand it all at once, yet we are each just another confused earth and animal. So the land, the earth, now complains. It says, I cannot feel myself feeling hit, dizzy on the head, shedding the fruit I bore, the shore of oil causing me sorrow, inflicting me with poison through every leaf I grow. Deeper and deeper you hunt for more, leaving me dry, hopeless, helpless with the gray clouds. But why then, I complain, why have I not seen the rain, the blazing spirit that blesses my single veins? Why do I not feel the joy of the laughter, the playing children running into the glorious blue seas, as the waves whisper, calling them to the soft sand once pure, to swim from one shore to the other? Why are the clouds clotting out of the sun, turning gray with the anger? The sky is no more blue, a clear, clear warning of danger. Why, I wonder? Why do I hear the earth respecting Aboriginal spray, screaming, O Spirit, I pray, please take me away to the rivers, the mountains with your holy wings, where the birds squeak all day long. The entire place carpeted with the green, green grass. Take me to the place where technology is not heard or seen, just the clouds, the rivers, the mountains, and the sun. At night, they complain. Beneath the countless stars they dream of sleeping. I hear them cry for the place where no one but silence is speaking as they say, please take me away to the mountains today. For inside their four-wheel driven world, they no longer wish to stay. Underneath lies the poison, only a human's obsession that destroys, molds a slave out of me. I became a laborer, left naked in shame, slowly dying by the fire of a flame. All songs of the woods is crushed like a wild shattered rose. I struggle to survive undefeatable bath. I'm frail, I'm Mustang, I'm your motherland. So why would you destroy me? I really appreciate nature. I grew up around nature, and I grew up on the mountains, which is where our house was. So I really appreciate just nature in general, and coming to Canada and understanding the how close nature is with the Aboriginal people really made me appreciate the nature even more. So yeah, I decided to write about that. Ethiopia is really beautiful. We have amazing culture. We have a great diversity from like different tribes and different dances and different languages and amazing food. I grew up actually at the border of Ethiopia and Eritrea. So there is this tribe called the Saho tribe. So that's what I am. So I wasn't really, I'm not a very, like, I didn't grow up in a bigger city. So unfortunately, I grew up not knowing so much about Ethiopia in general, except that little, I kind of grew up in my own little bubble. But I went back on my practicum this summer. And so I felt like I've learned so much about Ethiopia in general, more than I knew about Ethiopia. But so, yeah, it's a beautiful country for sure. And I really appreciated being from there and knowing more about who I am.
How old were you when you left Ethiopia?
I was 13 and I left with my young brother. So as I said, we're from the border, so it wasn't really the safest area to live. And my uncle lived here, so he decided that we take a refuge to Uganda. And so I left the, Ethiopia when I was very young and lived in Uganda for 4 years, waiting for the process to come to Canada. And so I was a refugee basically in Uganda for a bit, for not a bit, 4 years, and then eventually managed to come here. So yeah, I was very young when I left Ethiopia.
Where were you living in Uganda? What was it?
Kampala. Yeah, I lived in Kampala. I, as I said, my status in Kampala would have been a refugee from Ethiopia. I managed to go to school because my uncle was paying for school while I was there. There were times I wasn't at school, but most of the time I managed to be at school. And then, but yeah, it definitely was like one of the hardest experiences that I've ever had to experience, because I was on my own with my young brother and I was 13 and didn't really understand the language at all, didn't understand the culture. I really had no idea about Uganda before I got there. It's like I had this huge cultural shock, and then I finally managed to kind of, you know, enjoy the culture and the, you know, the language and understand the language and things like that. But being away from family was definitely the hardest. And as I said, like, we're from a very small village, so it was hard to connect with my family. And so I didn't really talk to my family until I actually came here. So 4 years of not talking to your family is definitely hard. But yeah.
How do you get through not talking to your family for 4 years?
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm glad you asked that question. I used to write a lot. So that's actually one way I learned my English, was through writing. And so I would write poetry a lot. I would write my family's letters. I would complain to my mom all the time for why she would send me to a country like Uganda. I'm like, what did I do to you, mom? Or, you know, like, so I wrote a lot for sure. And so I wrote lots of poetry, letters and things like that, which actually helps me continue writing even today. So I think that's one way I dealt with it. I didn't really have lots of friends living in Uganda. But I did manage to meet some people that were going through the same challenges as I was going. So like some refugees from Ethiopia, Eritrea and whatnot. So I guess I managed through people that I met and through just mostly really writing. Writing was my best friend. One thing I really get disappointed when people say things like, are you from Africa? Which is really interesting, because to be honest, I don't really identify myself as an African, because the difference between Uganda and Ethiopia is just massive. And like saying I'm an African just gives me a whole new identity. And so the difference is, like, the language differences, the cultural differences, there are just huge differences in almost everything. Like, one thing that even our food is completely different. In Uganda, it was just like some foods I couldn't eat, and I constantly kept on asking where I could find Ethiopian food when I first arrived to Uganda, because I just didn't like Ugandan food to begin with. Eventually, I fell in love with it, but And the way people behaved, the way they danced, the way they sang, the way they talked, the way they walked, the way they dressed was just completely different from what I grew up seeing. So it's an interesting question. It's the problem usually is that people don't distinguish between different countries. They just like, which really surprised me when I came here, because they'll be like, "Are you from Africa?" And I'd be like, "Wow. Really? I don't really see myself as an African." Like, obviously, I am African, I know, but, like, if, you know what I mean? Like, looking at the differences of different countries in Africa is just, like, extremely massive, so. Well, my uncle lives here, and so he's the one that sponsored us. To be honest, I didn't know much about Canada, but he lived here, so through him, like, he figured that Canada would be a best place for us to live. So, yeah, we finally moved here because of my uncle.
You talked about a culture shock in Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a culture shock when you came to Canada? Was it the same sort of thing?
Yeah, it was actually almost the same level culture shock. So when, maybe even more when I was in Uganda, when I first moved to Uganda, because I really wasn't exposed to so many other cultures except really the Ethiopian culture, even not like all of it, the Ethiopian culture, very like the neighboring tribes of Ethiopian culture was what I was really mostly exposed to. So going to Uganda was, I think, like more culture shock, but coming to Canada was also almost the same level, really. Like, there are just so many things that I wasn't familiar with, like, not just culturally, but, like, obviously, weather would be one of them. But, yeah, there are a lot of things that was shocking even here. One thing that I thought, like, I found really interesting was in high school, like, I went to Calvin High School for grade 12. And just, like, some things that mattered to, like, high school students, like, you know, like, losing weight and, like, trying to be pretty and skinny and all those things didn't really make any, like, meanings to me, because it's just like in Ethiopia being skinny is not really pretty, like, you got to have some, you know, meat on you. And so like things like that really like was a big shock for me, and didn't really understand it to begin with, but yeah, you eventually just get used to it. I mean, I'm still really in the process of getting it. There are a lot of things that I never thought I would actually get used to. I don't know if I should, like, openly admit about it, but one thing was really, like, the whole, like, idea of, like, homosexuality and things like that, which really didn't matter to me and didn't, like, I didn't really think were huge issues. But now I feel like those are, like, some of the issues that really need to be addressed, and I'm glad that I actually, like, finally got to accept it and, like, feel like those are also important matters, which was, you know, like, a big issue when I came here, that people would talk about those kind of issues and it didn't really matter to me. But now, like at the beginning, it was actually a shock. It wasn't just only, and so I had to go through a process of learning and also appreciating different cultural values and not only being like stuck up with my own cultural values. So that's just like some hard process that you have to go through, but then at the end you kind of appreciate that you actually went through that to like get where you are and just kind of like fit into the society as well. I was surprised to find out that, like, I think I also had my own desires to come to Canada, but I wasn't really, like, you know, like, the promised land, like, my life is going to be completely different when I go come to Canada. I did have certain expectations where I'd be like, you know, my friends will be different, my lifestyle will be a bit different and whatnot, but I didn't really come to Canada thinking, wow, my life is going to like completely change and this is where, like, I had pretty good life living in Ethiopia. And if I describe that to you, that like pretty good life for myself, is you're going to be shocked. It's like I only had my shoes when I was 10 We pretty much had a meal once or twice a day. But for me, I didn't really know anything else. So that was a good life. And that really was a good life. We didn't know anything better. And that's just when you think about it, we might have been poor, but who defines poverty? From our perspective, poverty, that wasn't poverty. We were just pretty much, at least from my perspective, I was well off. And so when you come here, people are like, oh, man, I can't believe, Ethiopia is so poor. I'm thinking, really? Are we? I mean, I've never really thought of us poor. I mean, at least not all Ethiopia is poor, right? And so you kind of learn a new concept for yourself. So you switch your identity as now not only an immigrant, but also as poor, right? So it's really interesting transition that I kind of felt like I went through, like from not only being Ethiopian or African, but also from being poor that like needed help. And so, I mean, it's really interesting transition and interesting new values that you create for yourself, because you're coming into the society that has already created those concepts and have new identities for you even before you walk into it. Like, I mean, you have perceived me as poor even before you saw me. Like, how cool is that? It's just really disappointing. And the thing is, shows like South Park, actually, like, 2 weeks ago, this just got me almost crying. There's a child that was sponsored from Ethiopia. And sponsored by this family in the U.S. So they apparently this U.S. family wanted to discipline the child. I don't know if you read the news as much as I do, but so they wanted to discipline the child. So they starved the child to death. And so that's not even the saddest part of the story. The saddest part of the story is the way it was portrayed in the media. And this is how they put it. I'm like, this is like quote to quote. And they said, this poor child that came from a starving country of Ethiopia starved to death. I'm thinking, did you just fully, label the whole Ethiopia as starving? And I was like, what is there for me to do? Like, what can I do to just change that woman's perspective? That woman, like the lady that was giving the news, right? It was obviously that's her perspective, right? She labeled Ethiopia as starving, but the whole world has, I'm sure, seen that news, right? And so media is playing a huge role in how we see the world, and I think it's really sad. Like, maybe my family is starving, but my neighbors are pretty well off. So leveling my family and my neighbors as the same is really, really sad. Like, you know what I mean? And some of the things that you don't hear in the news is that Ethiopia has actually managed to grow, keep its growth for up to 11% for the past 5 years. So after like India and China, Ethiopia is actually one of the fastest growing economies. And Ethiopia is doing so much. Like when I left Ethiopia, there were only like 5 universities. Now we have more than like 80 something universities in Ethiopia. And so, and colleges as well. And so, I mean, those are the things you don't hear. And I think it's really discouraging for people that work so hard. Like, my mom is a teacher. She works day and night. And all she has to hear is about, like, starvation. You know what I mean? Like, it's really discouraging when you think about it. So the media, obviously, I know it gets blamed a lot, but I think we have really good reasons to blame the media after listening to news like that. So the world just doesn't get a full story. We are really getting only one side of the story. And with only one side of the story, a human being cannot be a fool. You cannot have just, if I tell you my negative side of the story and I leave the positive side of the story, I'm not really telling you who I am. I'm only telling you part of who I am, right? Mm-hmm. So I think Ethiopia brought me up until at least I was 13. In both sides. I was poor, but I also had a lot of great opportunities that a lot of children in the West don't have. So if I only told you the poor side of the story, then you will have a very poor perspective for me. You'd basically I'll be inferior to you, right? Because I'm just you're only hearing a negative side of the story. So I really think there needs to be a balance.
So are you happy with being in Canada? Like, is it...
Yeah, I am happy being part of Canada. I would like to live in a Canada that has some changes to it right now. Obviously, I don't want to get too deep into politics, but maybe I wish we had a better political party or like a better, you know, like representation of Indigenous people or even a better policies towards immigrations, immigrants coming to Canada. Right now, immigration has, especially like sponsorship of refugees, has been cut like half, basically. And so, I mean, there are some issues that I wish would have been addressed, but like I really enjoy living here, and I'm grateful for having the opportunities that I have. There are a lot of opportunities that I have that I would have not had in Ethiopia, but also there are a lot of things that I'm missing that I would have had in Ethiopia. So, I mean, it's just like on the struggle trying to balance both sides, but yeah, I really enjoy being here.
You know, and I'm also curious about how you feel about your future in Canada.
I think I'm hopeful. I do. I don't really think I'll live here for the rest of my life. I actually plan to get a job as soon as I'm done with my degree, to get a job abroad. I'd like it if it was in Africa mostly. But I mean, Canada is really a beautiful country. We have so much freedom that I might not have had in other parts of Africa or even Middle East or whatever. And we also have amazing culture as well, like a culture, like Winnipeggers especially, really like very polite, nice people, I find. And you know, like, I haven't really thought of my future in Canada, to be honest. I do feel like I do want to go back to my country and maybe, you know, like, help out with some of the things that I complain, you know, like, why are we so poor? Maybe I could actually start a small shop there, you know, like, if I'm going to feel like that I'm contributing something to the society that I guess I grew up in, and that's also from a lot of perspective is as in need to for investors and for people that I guess young energy energetic people there. So I do want to go back and work in Africa. So I haven't really like pictured my future in Canada, but I definitely love. Yeah, I think I've considered it as a home now. So definitely. I would like to know how the future holds, what the future holds for me here.
You've been listening to the Find Your Voice radio series on CKUW 95.9 FM. Find Your Voice is a radio series of half-hour episodes that presents the life stories of new Canadians. These stories offer a portrait of newly immigrated Canadians to help build understanding, demystify stereotypes, and break down preconceptions. The Find Your Voice radio project was based on the new Canadian literacy project called The Past is Another Country at the Winnipeg Public Library. Find Your Voice received generous support by Astral Media and the Campus Community Radio Fund of Canada, CKUW 95.9 FM, and the Oral History Center at the University of Winnipeg. Find Your Voice was produced by Janine Legal, Naina Singh, and Scott Price. Special thanks to all the volunteers who contributed their stories. This could not have been done without you. Thank you.